Okay, welcome to today's class, and we are discussing happiness, and we are going through the book by Rabbi Zelig Bliskin, Happiness, and we're discussing it. And we talked about the three principles for happiness. Number one principle is to appreciate what a person has and enjoy what you have. If you are healthy, you're one of the luckiest people in the world. The person should feel like they won the lottery. A person who is healthy is really won the lottery. There are so many things out there. A person's body is working perfectly. You're so lucky. We're so lucky. A person's got to really thank God every day. We don't really appreciate it until something goes wrong. But there are so many different things that can go wrong. And the person whose body is functioning should really give praise to Hashem every day. And we do with the bracha of Asher Yatzar, which people don't say properly because they don't appreciate what's going on. When things are going well, we don't appreciate. That's the trouble. So very important. Number one is to appreciate what you have and enjoy what you have. Appreciate what you have and enjoy what you have. And most people think, you know, they always focus on what they don't have. They never focus on what they have. That's human nature. We focus on what we don't have. The cup is always half empty. But the truth is, we have to always think the cup is always half full. Appreciate what you have. So a person has a roof over their head. We take for granted. We're so lucky. You walk around the street and see a homeless person. We just don't understand what it's like to be homeless. We're so lucky. We're always raised with a roof over our heads. We are so, so lucky. You have central heating. You're so lucky because it's freezing out there. You see this guy sitting. He sleeps on the bench over here on the main street. We're so lucky. We have central heating. We have a roof over the heads. We have carpets in the house. We're living like kings. We have hot water. We talked about it last week. So we have to appreciate. A person has to appreciate. Think of what you have. Always people focus. I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this. But think about what you have. Think about the Jews in Israel who lost their houses. There was a fire and I don't know, 1,800 families, 1,800 houses were burnt down or something like that. It's a crazy number. So think about what you have and appreciate. If you're happily married, you're one of the lucky 50%. 50%, lucky married. Appreciate what you have and enjoy your spouse, enjoy your children. You have children. Enjoy your children. Enjoy. You have grandchildren. You won the lottery. You won the lottery. Enjoy your grandchildren. So a person has to appreciate what they have and then learn to enjoy what they have, to savor what a person has. We talked about how there's so many parts of the mouth to taste things. You go to school to learn how to taste wine. I think they talk about 12 parts of the mouth or 16, where they actually flavor the mouth. They have to know how to flavor the wine. So if you can't flavor it, you won't be able to appreciate it. Imagine a person eat, we swallow things down, we don't really appreciate. We don't really taste the food. How long is the taste of the food in one's mouth? Till it goes down. Once it goes down, there's no taste anymore. You finished it. So there's a big difference between men and women. I went to a party once with my wife. It was at the Hilton Hotel in Yerushalayim. And it was a wedding. One of my friends, my chavruta, got married. And I went there and I said, it's disgusting, the food. Tiny little portions. And she's saying, wow, it looks so nice. Look, there's a leaf over here. And this. I said, who cares about the leaves? So there's a totally difference between men and women. Totally difference between men and women. So women appreciate the way the food looks. The looks are very, very important for the woman. And the men don't care about the looks. They just care about the tachlis. Eat. Will it stuff you or not? So that's very important.
Unless you're my husband who plays
things. Oh, he's a chef. I'm talking about chefs. I'm not talking about chef. That's a chef.
Much better than I do.
Well, that's a chef. Okay.
Chef.
Professional. He's a professional. Okay, so person's got to appreciate what they have. We really are the luckiest generation we talked about. We are the luckiest generation of Jews for 2,000 years. We have a state of Israel. We are lucky. We're millionaires. We have a place to go if you're persecuted. Jews don't have a place to go. They couldn't run. Can you imagine before the Second World War, they were trapped. No one would give them a visa. Nobody would give them a visa. Trapped. You have nowhere to run. Where am I going to go? I know the Nazis are there. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? It was terrible. We're the lucky generation. We can go tomorrow. You can go buy a ticket. You can buy it online. You have to go anyway. Amazing. You buy a ticket. El Al right now is having a little problem. So go United. So many airlines. So you go. There's so many different airlines. You have so many different ways to go to Israel. You go via London. You go via Europe. You go via here. Canada. Cheapest way is through Kiev. I don't advocate it. Ukraine. You go through Ukraine. It's the cheapest ticket here. Or Turkey. It's cheapest. So there's so many different ways. We're so lucky. We have to appreciate and go to Israel and enjoy Israel. Enjoy. Right? You go there and you enjoy it. You see, it's your land. When I go to Israel, I feel like I'm walking on the same steps my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather walked. Because I know my grandfather lived in Israel. He was living in Israel till 1910. He moved there from, okay, let's not go into stories. Okay. So we have to appreciate and enjoy what we have. We're the luckiest generation. Number two, every cloud has a silver lining, and that's something which a person in a cloud cannot see. Every cloud has a silver lining. So we can only see the cloud, but we don't see the silver lining in the cloud. Every time a person has a problem, we have to realize it. So Hashem is asking us to call out to Him. Hashem wants our company. Hashem wants us to reach out to Him. Hashem wants a connection. And it's unfortunate that sometimes we get a problem to build the connection. A person should build the connection without the problems. That's a problem. So we have to find the positive in the bad. In the bad itself, there's a positive, which only Nachum Ish Gamzu. And we have that faith. A person has to have emunah and faith in God and trust in God, which is tomorrow night's class, which is also on the website. Torah anytime. You can see the class. Doesn't mean you shouldn't come. You should come as well. And a person can find the positives in the bad itself. There's positives. So many stories of people who had a car crash. They're taken to the hospital and they find a very bad disease and they're cured. If they wouldn't have had the car crash, they wouldn't have found the disease. So in the positive itself, we have to find as a positive. A person has to move. Look at the Jews who had to leave Russia in the 1800s or the early 1900s. And they came here. The positive is they survived the war. So it looks bad, looks terrible. But you know what? Hashem is trying to save them. And we see this right through Jewish history. They're thrown out of this country. Baruch Hashem got thrown out of the country. Because the next generation, they're going to kill all the Jews in their country. And number three, we said the main thing is, a person wants to be happy, act happy. Act happy. Even though you're not happy, act happy. Smile. Put on a big smile. A person's got to be a good actor. I know as a parent, you have to be a good actor. Because you're not allowed to lose your temper. It's so hard. You have to show temper without losing temper. So you have to be a good actor. You have to be detached from your emotions. To be a good parent, you have to be detached from your emotions. When you come home, you have to show a nice, smiling face, even though you may not feel happy. You have to put on an act. So a person has to be a good actor. And the way we act on the outside, that eventually is going to influence the inside. That's a very important idea, which is brought down by Sefer HaChinuch, the Book of Education, which goes through all the 613 mitzvot, and every parasha, he goes through the mitzvah and the parasha. And over there at the beginning, he says, the purpose of the mitzvah is, because when you do a mitzvah, it will increase your emunah in Hashem. It will draw you closer to Hashem. The action itself will change the way you think. There's a whole branch of psychology called cognitive psychology, or behavior modification. The way you behave is how you're going to change your brain waves. The brain connections are going to change by what you do. So it's what you do that changes who you are. So if you're smiling, it's going to change the way you're thinking. It's amazing. Very powerful idea. So Rav Victor Miller would go and sit in front of the mirror and practice his smile. Can you imagine? So that, because everyone, it says, it's a Pirkei Avot. Shammai says, of all people, Shammai says, Heveh mikabel kol adam besever panim yafot. Go and receive everyone with a nice face. And it's something rabbis have to practice, because other, it's all about customer service. Rabbis are all about customer service. If you call the rabbi, he doesn't call you back. It's like, who wants to go there? Don't call you back. So it's all about customer service. If it's good customer service with a smile, people like that place and they'll go again. If there's customer service, it stinks and it's a rad frown, and people are not going to go. It's very simple. So it's all about customer service today. So you want your children to be happy? Customer service, right? The mother has got to serve the child and look after the child and smile at the child and be nice to the child. And don't ask me about discipline. That's the hard part. That's daddy's job, okay? You wait till your father comes home. That was in those days, the good old days. Yeah.
I have just a something funny to say. It's reminding me. My grandson was in Barnes & Noble with his mother, and the little boy that was like 2.5 years old was screaming. He was lost. He couldn't find his mother. So my grandson, who was like 5 at the time, he says to his mother, "He's doing the wrong thing. He should just go to customer service."
That's right. Flop him down in customer service. Let him deal with him. That's the best way. Okay, so these three things are really the foundation of happiness. Appreciate, enjoy. Appreciate what you have. A person's got to appreciate what they have. Enjoy what you have. That's the hard part. We have so many things, we don't really enjoy them. And that's the American tragedy, right? A person has a big house, they can't enjoy every single room. He said, how many rooms do you need to live in? And you can't enjoy every single room, so it's good. And maybe you should move your bed around once in a while. Just enjoy the house. Enjoy the place. Find the positives. Find the positives in a person's life. So my kids have grown up, and they're out, and I'm all alone, and I feel so alone. Well, the good part is they've grown out. They moved out. Baruch Hashem. Well, they're married, even better. Baruch Hashem. They have children, even better. So talk about the positives in your life. People always talk about, you know, I'm this, I'm that. But what about appreciate what you had or had before that Hashem blessed us with? Thank God, a million times. A person's 85 years old and they're sick. I say, listen, 85 years. I have 85 years to thank God for. Baruch Hashem, a million times. Halavai. It's like a dream. A person who's young, person says, oh, you're 85. How did you reach that age? That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a bracha. That's a tremendous bracha. And talk and act joyously. Someone asks you how you're doing, you say, Baruch Hashem. Great, great. I'm a rabbi in Israel, my rabbi in Israel. Great. What's the answer to his question? How are you doing? Great. Everything's great. Everything's great. Even when things are really bad. I told you, I think last week, I told you that he lost his building in Israel. It got taken away from him because he didn't pay his rent. I don't know how many months. It was terrible. And not only that, but he took him to court. And he had to pay out $500,000 or something. I don't know, back rent or whatever. And how are you doing? Great. I need $100 million or whatever. Okay. So eventually they gave him the money and people donated money because of his attitude to life. Amazing. So it's very, very important. Those are the three rules. Let's repeat these three rules. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate. Hashem likes people to appreciate. If you give someone a gift they don't appreciate, you're not going to give them a gift. Very simple. It's very, very important to appreciate what you have or you had in the past. People don't appreciate what they had. That's the trouble. So we have to appreciate what we have. Baruch Hashem, a million times what we have. We're the luckiest. We have to keep on thinking. We're the luckiest generation of Jews in 2,000 years. Since the Bar Kokhba revolt, or even before that. That's where the Romans took us all as slaves. People don't realize the Jews built the Colosseum. People don't realize that. 60,000 Jewish slaves from Israel. Titus, the emperor, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, took 60,000 Jews as slaves at least. That's how the Jews got to Europe. They were slaves. The Romans took them as slaves. And then you know what happens? One Jew became free. And the biggest mitzvah for a Jew is Pidyon Shvuyim. So he redeems another Jew. And the other Jew redeems another Jew. And they collect money. So they redeemed all these slaves. And that's how the Jews got to Europe. They moved to Spain. They moved to France. And eventually they moved to Ashkenaz. And they became Ashkenaz. People don't realize Ashkenazi Jews were basically, I don't know, 50 families. And they repopulated. You see how in a few generations, having 10 children each. And amazing what you can do. There's a chart in the OU magazine. I highly recommend you look at that chart in the OU Jewish Action, this month's Jewish Action. It shows you 100 people and shows you what the results are in different branches of Judaism. You'll see that I think the Hasidim now, there's for every 100 people, there's 3,400. I don't know how much there is. And for modern Orthodox, tells you, I don't know, but much less. And keeps on going down the hill. People not having kids. That's our biggest problem today. Jews are not getting married and Jews are not having kids. That's our biggest problem in America. And when they do get married, they marry the wrong people. Or the right people, but the wrong people. So we have to find the positive in everything. And that's the hard part, is to find the positive sometimes. Because things are bad. What's the positive? The positive is sometimes the person's sick. Okay, but it's temporary. You can find the positive. Go to the hospital, it's not cancer. That's the first question. Baruch Hashem, a million times. It's curable. It's something not so serious. Or can be under control. Good, Baruch Hashem. Person's going to be positive and thankful. And always talk and act joyously because we are lucky. Why? Because we believe in two worlds. We believe in two worlds. Even if this world is not doing well, fine. Yeah, okay, Baruch Hashem, we have Olam Ba. So, there's always something to rejoice about. It may be bad over here, but it's better than the next world. Yeah, some people, this world is so good, I don't want to go to the next world. So Hashem says, okay, I'm going to make it bad for you soon over here. Don't worry. You'll want to go. You'll want to go eventually. Eventually everyone wants to go. Some people, they don't want to go. They go screaming. Some people go happy. You have to know, this world is not the main world. But it's the main world to earn what we need to retire in the next world. You don't realize, the next world is the world of retirement. You can't do good deeds in the next world. That's it. It's over. Free choice is right here. So this is the world to earn. This is the world to work hard. that's what we do right now. We're working really hard. At least I am. I don't know. Learning Torah is the main thing. It's a very, very big thing. And learning Torah should make a person happy. And that's a sign if they're doing mitzvah properly or not. If the mitzvah makes you happy, you're doing the mitzvah properly. If the mitzvah made you sad and depressed, you didn't do the mitzvah properly. Very simple. It's very simple. And that's what a person has to gauge. Did this Shabbat make me happy? That if it didn't make me happy, then the attitude to Shabbat has to change. Your attitude to Shabbat is not a good attitude. It's not a healthy attitude. Right, a person's got to look forward to Shabbat and welcome Shabbat and say, wow, I wish it was Shabbat every day. TGIF. I mean, even the non-Jews know TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God. Why is it thank God Friday? Because they know they're going to be off. And we have much more to celebrate because we can switch off the phone, the stupid phone, switch off the cell phone, switch off the internet, and put your mind and get back to normal a little bit without any distractions. Get back to the family. Otherwise, people, that's why families break down. They don't see each other. I tell you, if it wasn't for Shabbat, I probably wouldn't see my wife or for children. I don't know. It's crazy. You're running here, running there, right there. Thank God for Shabbat. Thank God. We have to appreciate Shabbat. And we have to enjoy Shabbat. So, appreciate and enjoy. Everyone should remember this, these three things. I'm trying to remember myself. Appreciate and enjoy. When you're down, appreciate what you have. You're wearing clothes. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. Malbish Arumim. Thank God we can afford clothes. How many people are walking around? They can't afford even clothes. Clothes are in tatters. And enjoy them. Enjoy. You have clothes? Enjoy the clothes. Look nice. You know? Enjoy what we have. It's so important to enjoy. People forget that part. I bought this and I bought this and I bought this and I bought this and I bought this. No. You have to enjoy it though. There's no point buying and having it in your closet. Now think about if you have to move to Israel, what are you going to do with all this stuff? Think about it. You only have one suitcase. If you go nefesh by nefesh, I don't know how many, you get 10 suitcases. And when are you going to put them? You know, there's apartments in Israel. You ever seen an apartment in Israel? Oh boy. A dinky apartment. It costs a fortune, it's a dinky apartment. Then you need a machsan. You have to buy a machsan to put all your stuff because you're American. You have to have a place to park it all. It's so much stuff. But find the positive. The truth is you don't need so much stuff. That's the positive. The positive is in Israel, you appreciate what you have because you don't need so much. You find out you don't really need so much. And that's the good part of being in Israel, is it's amazing how they live. With much less, and they're much happier. They live longer. It's amazing. Men in Israel, one of the longest, with all the army, and all the wars, and all the cigarette smoke, and all the garbage, they're living longer. The lifespan in Israel is longer than America. Huh? Baruch Hashem. It's a miracle. It's nothing else. There's nothing else but a miracle. It's a miracle. I think for a man, it's 85, which is one of the longest in the world. It's one of the...
Rabbi, yes? Something in one of the newspapers, there was a study about different countries and how happy...
Yeah, the happiness index. Happiness index. Israel's right up there.
And Israel is in the top five.
It's amazing. I mean, they're happier than the Americans.
Right.
Why is that?
Way happier than the Americans.
So the answer is it's a social framework. You have a social network. Over here, people are lost. Parents don't talk to their kids. The kids don't talk to their parents. Over there, it's like one big family. Your whole apartment building is one big family. It's amazing. All of a sudden, everyone on your floor is your neighbors. They're more than neighbors. They become your relatives. They're all very involved with each other. It's crazy. Can I borrow a bag of flour? Can I borrow a bag of sugar? You don't see this over here. You don't go to your neighbor and say, can you lend me some eggs? But Israel, you lend me some eggs. Knock on the door. Can I borrow a few eggs? Can I borrow chairs? Can I borrow... Sure, of course.
They do it all the time.
All the time.
Right. And then they give you unsolicited advice as well.
Yeah, of course. They give you a lot of advice. And if you're single, you get more than advice. You get offers.
You get offers.
Okay. So these are the major principles of foundations of happiness. Appreciate and enjoy. Let's all say it together. Appreciate and enjoy. Find the positive, the silver lining. And act and talk joyously. Talk with a smile on your face. Act as if you really mean it. Even though you're really down the dumps, but you should act as if they're happy. And these are the three principles. They're such small, smart. This is really very brilliant. Minor things which become major principles. Just small things to appreciate what you have. It's such a small thing, but it's such a big thing. And to enjoy what you have. You know, I just heard a shiur. There's a rabbi, Eitan Feiner. He's one of the keynote speakers in the Agudah Convention. I just happen to see him on Torah anytime. You can see these people. Eitan Feiner, he's a rabbi in Long Island. And he said 21 years they're waiting to have a child. He had a child. His child was born in a coma.
Oh, no.
And the boy only had a breath 6 months later. And he's a special needs child. But he says this child is full of chesed. His face is always full of kindness. And so he's, yeah, this is a person who had, you know, tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. But find the silver lining. Find the positives. How can he live? And the answer is, you got to find the silver line. That's, person's going to find the silver line. Bar Minan, there's terrible cases, and the person's going to live, going to keep on going. We have a big tzaddik in the shul over here. Massive tzaddik who looks after his daughter, carries his daughter. It's a miracle. It's he doesn't complain. I haven't seen a single complaint. They don't complain.
Daddy's always smiling.
Always smiling. And you know what? His father was a Holocaust survivor. You've got to read the book. Her father lived in
his
barns.
His daughter is always smiling. His daughter is splendid.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So, okay, it doesn't matter. Find the positives. Find the positives and act joyously. And that's the hard part. Act joyously. Put on an act. If you have to put on an act of acting joyously, because acting joyously will eventually influence you to think joyously. So even though things are down, smile. And you know, if you go to hospital, you got to see the nurses over there. I happened to be in hospital, unfortunately, for 2 days. Thank God it's only 2 days. Very expensive 2 days, by the way. It's like $10,000 a day. It's not exactly a hotel, right? I'd rather go to a hotel. All right. So, but I'm just saying, the attitude you have to the nurses improves your care, or can decrease your care tremendously. Right. If you smile at the nurses, it's amazing what they'll do for you. If you don't smile at the nurses, they probably won't even want to look at you. It's amazing how it's the way you act that attracts people's attention, right? Anyone who's visited in hospitals, right? You'll know that the reception you get when you go and visit someone that makes you want to go to see them, makes you not want to go to see them. It's a hard job to visit people in hospitals. It's a very hard job, so I take off my hat to those who go. Big mitzvah. But anyway, let's go on to the topic. So these are the three principles, are the foundations of happiness. And without these three things, no matter what one has or does, one will not be happy. You have to be grateful for what you have. It's called an attitude of gratitude, and appreciate it. And not only appreciate it, we have to enjoy it. Suppose you go look around at the house and say, listen, I got this and I got this. How many times have you sat on a sofa? Person has sofas in the living room, right? So we hardly sit on it. If there's a guest, maybe we sit on the sofa. But there's no guest. Person says, listen, I have it. Why don't I enjoy it? Just take your spouse and go sit there for 5-10 minutes a day. Relax. Enjoy it. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy living. So you have to have it, you have to appreciate it, and you have to enjoy it. It's not like having so many stuff in the closet and we don't appreciate it. Because we don't enjoy it. We don't use it. So it's there in the closet. Okay, I know I have it. It's comforting to know you have it when you need it. But you never used it. So appreciate it. Enjoy it. And if you don't need to give it away, let someone else enjoy it. And you should get enjoyment if someone else is enjoying. And that's the enjoyment of a Jewish mother when she sees her kids eating. Enjoying other people's enjoying. Right, when you give something to someone and you see them wearing it and they say, wow, I'm really happy you're wearing it and you're using it and you should use it in good health and appreciate and enjoy it. That's a very, very important thing. If you give the shul a kiddush, watch people's faces and see how they're enjoying the food and appreciating the food and say, I'm really enjoying their enjoyment. I'm enjoying their enjoyment. That's a very important thing. Always find a positive. So a person's going to make a commitment to increase their level of happiness. That's why we're here today. We want to make and commitment today to increase our level of happiness in life. Appreciate every single day that goes by. Don't let time just pass you by. A person can say, you know, thank God I have time. Thank God for the time. Thank you, Hashem. Now, how am I going to use my time in the best possible way? That's the hard part. That's the hard part. How does a person use their time productively, the most maximum productivity? And you know, a lot of the depression is caused because people don't feel they're using their time properly. A lot of the thing is probably because the person's day just passed by. It's a hard time for vacations. Because the day passes by and you had a good time, but you really feel empty afterwards. Because there's no purpose. So that's why it's important to have purpose throughout the day. And every time a person says a bracha, that's your purpose right there. A person's going to say a bracha properly. Now it's interesting, when a person says a bracha, we don't really realize, but there's angels listening to us. It's not you're not just saying a bracha in a vacuum. You know, yesterday I was talking about how a Jew has to have a good imagination. To be a Jew, you have to have a very good imagination. You know, there's a beautiful story. It says, the prophet Elisha, The prophet Elisha was very, very famous. Why? Because number one is he healed the non-Jewish general Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. And we're going to do this on Shabbat. You know, like we're doing the course through going through Nach. We'll get there in a few months or years, whatever. So, Elisha, we're going to get through. We're finishing in David HaMelech. It's amazing. David HaMelech's life. What a so much troubles in his life, and for every trouble he had, we get a psalm. And every good thing he had, he get a psalm. That's how a person's life should be. Every time something is good, thank God, sing a praise. Person not a composer, read a praise. David HaMelech wrote psalms for good occasions. Something's bad, read a psalm. Psalm for a bad occasion. Because everything is to do with God. Person, he turned his life into one big poetry to God. Good parts of poetry, bad parts. Anyway, let's go back to Elisha. Elisha, who was the student of Eliyahu Navi. The student of Eliyahu Navi. And he was the greatest student of Eliyahu Navi. Because he asked Eliyahu Navi, he says, give me double portion of what you had. Can you imagine? What a chutzpah. Right? Eliyahu Navi is dying. He's not dying. He's going to go somewhere else. And he says, give me a double portion of what you had. And he says, if you can see me go up, it's a sign you'll get it. He saw Eliyahu Navi go up in this chariot. The fiery chariot goes up, pulled by fiery horses, whatever that means. And he goes, Eliyahu Navi is transferred into the next world without dying. He's one of the 10 people who never died. And Elisha saw this, and he gets a double portion of his prophecy. Can you imagine? He has a double portion of his prophecy. And the Syrians knew that the power of the Jews was because of Elisha. Elisha would always tell them the army is coming this way, go do this, go that. You can always see the future. So they decide they're going to capture Elisha. The Syrian army sends a whole platoon, capture Elisha. Your mission is to capture the prophet. So the prophet is surrounded by horses and chariots and an enemy, and his servant is trembling. His servant is trembling. He says, Elisha, how come you're not trembling? How come they're all surrounding us? He says, you can't see? He says, see what? You can't see the angels around us? He says, Hashem opened his eyes so he can see as well. And he sees they're surrounded by millions of angels. You're scared now? He says, I'm not scared now. We don't see that. We have to have imaginations. When a person says a bracha, the bracha is being relayed. That bracha is not just a vacuum. Person saying a bracha, and the angels, sometimes they're impressed, and some say, eh, what kind of bracha is that? They're disgusted. It's up to us to impress the angels. At least we can impress the angels. You can say a bracha. Person has the opportunity to say a bracha properly. It's a very hard thing to do. It's amazing. There's a yetzera not to say a bracha at all. That's number one. And number two is, even if you say a bracha, the yetzera is, don't say it properly. That's a terrible thing. So we have to, don't swallow the bracha. And the main thing is say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. That's the main part of the bracha. Those six words. Bless you, God, the King of the Universe. If God is missing from the bracha, people just swallow God's name. Let's say God's name fully, not half. Not swallow it. And say, Melech Haolam, the King of the Universe, because a king, he's not King of the Universe, there's not a praise. So you have to say those words very, very fully. It's very, very important. Say a bracha properly. And then you'll appreciate the world a bit more. When you say the bracha properly, you'll say, wow, what am I doing? I'm saying thank you to this fruitful, to God for the fruit. I appreciate this fruit so much. Look how beautiful it is. And look how healthy it's going to make me, B'ezrat Hashem. So a person's going to think about these things. Appreciate all there is to be grateful for in your life and in your world. And that's something which we don't even think about. We always think about what we don't have. I don't have this and I don't have that. I need this, I need that. You're going shopping, I need this and I need that, I need that. But look in the closet, it's full of stuff. Baruch Hashem, thank God. A million times. The fridge is full, thank God, a million times. The person's going to be grateful for what they have. Learn how to enjoy what you have not enjoyed before. And that's something which we have to, it's an art. The art of learning to enjoy life, which Americans don't have time for, because we're running around like loonies. It's a rat race. Run. Appreciate. You have peace and quiet in your house. Appreciate it, boy. Appreciate it. You don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to change diapers. Appreciate it. I tell you, 14 years, I never had one night's sleep. 14 years, I never slept through the night. 14 years, honestly. 14 years. And then when the first night, I said, what happened? Yeah. Sounds strange over here. What's happening now? It's amazing. It's a gift. It's a gift. But both sides are a gift. just holding a baby is such a pleasure, such an enjoyment. Person has to enjoy those days, because those days are so fast. They end so fast, so you hold your grandchildren, but you can always give it back. I'll take it. So find positives in yourself and other people. That's hard. People today are very hard on themselves. Person's got to find positives in themselves. And that's a very important part of Musar, is to always build yourself up, not to knock yourself down. Build yourself up by thinking of your good qualities and working on them to improve. Work on your good qualities first. Don't think about the bad qualities. Only when you have some self-esteem can you change the bad in yourself. So find the positives in yourself. And then when you have someone you don't like, look at positives in them as well. They also have positives. Everyone has positives. No such thing as a person with negatives, all negatives, impossible. And as school teachers especially, sometimes we're very difficult with our kids. And then we just look at the bad parts of our kids. We have to look at the good sides of the goods as well. That's the hard part. Now look at the good parts. Enjoy the good parts. Smile at the good parts. And the kid will change his relationship with you. So it's important to always smile at them, give them love. And slowly they'll come around. It takes a long time. Look at Yitzhak and Esav. Very strange relationship. Why did Esav love Yitzhak so much? And the answer is he loved him because he showed love to him. Yitzhak showed love to Esav more than he showed love to Yaakov. And he made Yitzhak and Esav into his favorite son, which is very strange, right? Yitzhak, you think Yitzhak is the spiritual man would hate this son who is such a rebellious son. No, he tries to draw him closer and closer and tries to bring him back. He was not successful, but he was to a certain point that even Esav decided he's going to marry different women because his father didn't like his wives. But he didn't tell him anything. He couldn't tell him anything. You tell him anything, he's going to run away. So it's the love that drew him closer. Tried to draw him closer. Tried his best. So talk and act joyously. Change what you can change, but see the potential for growth and development in each encounter and experience. I'm going to think, how could I develop through this encounter with someone? I had an encounter with someone. How am I going to make myself a better person through this encounter? Very rough encounter with someone at work. I had a very tough encounter with someone over here and over there. How is this going to improve? Help to improve me. That's all I'm worried about. How do I improve myself through this encounter? Talk and act joyously. We talked about this. It will create inner joy. Free your mind from counterproductive inner chatter. This is so important. This is such an important thing. We talked about this. We talked about the book. Which book were we doing? Thinking Positively. What's that book? It's all in your mind. All in your mind. The inner chatter we tell ourselves all the time. Person says, I'm bad, I'm useless, I'm this, I'm that. It's my fault, it's my fault, it's more of it. It's not going to help you. It's going to get you down. It's going to break you. So it's better not to say those words and say it's all in God's hands. And I've learned to say this. Person's got to say sometimes, I've done my best. It's all in your hands, Hashem. What can I do? I made mistakes in my life. It's your hands now. I'm giving the responsibility over to you. You feel much better. You feel so much better when it's not your responsibility anymore. Hashem, that's it. You're carrying me, carrying my burdens as well. Carry me, just come carry me. Call my children, my grandchildren. You carry them, Hashem. I can't worry about them anymore. That's it. You do it for me. You do it for me. You worry for me. And you know what? Hashem says, they're my children as well. Your children are my children. Your friends are my friends. And your enemies are also my children. That's the hard part. We have to realize every single human being is God's child. And that's one of the secrets of success in tefillah. And that's something which we don't focus enough on, is to make our problems God's problems. If your son, God, is not doing well, you're the parent. It's your problem more than my parent. So we're all God's children. We have to make it God's problem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was so smart. He was so clever. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy all the Jews. After the sin of the golden calf, I'm going to destroy them all. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, what will they say about you, God? It's your problem, God. What will they say about you that you destroy your own children? It's like Avraham Avinu, same thing. Saddam. What will they say about you, God? You're not doing justice. You kill the righteous with the wicked. What will the people say about you, Hashem? You're going to lose your reputation. It's not just about me, it's about you. We have to make it God's problem as well. You're my parent. If you see your son suffering, you see your daughter suffering, is that the parent feels good? It's your problem, Hashem. For your sake, heal us. And that's what we say. What do you say on Yom Kippur? Leman Shemecha, Aseh Leman Shemecha. Do it for your name, Hashem. It's amazing, amazing concept. We're praying to God to do it for Himself. Why? Because He created us. He's the Creator. The Creator feels bad when your creation is not doing well. We have to make it part of God's creation problem as well. And when we pray, there's a very important tip. It was at the beginning of this week's parasha. It's a very strange word used for prayer. I think it's only used in this context. At the beginning of the parasha, which parasha was it yesterday, guys? Toldot. It says, Vayeater Yitzhak lenochach ishto. And Yitzhak prayed facing his wife. So the word prayer, you don't say, it's usually palel, it should be. Palel Yitzhak. But it says, Vayeater Yitzhak. What's Vayeater Yitzhak? So Rashi says, Yeater is language of pestering. He pestered Hashem over. Imagine, he got married at the age of 40, and the age of 60 has a child. 20 years childless. That's a long time. So what's he doing those 20 years? Awful lot of prayer. 20 years of praying and pestering and pestering and pestering. That's the secret to successful prayer. Keep on bugging. Hashem needs the prayers. Hashem wants the prayers. Hashem wants the prayers. Hashem wants the prayers. So eventually Hashem says, your prayers, just there was a blockage over there in the pipe. You know, I had a plumber in my house. He was there for like 5 hours. I tipped him. I felt sorry for him. Trying to clean the kitchen sink. Oh boy, because that pipe goes all the way down to the main, and I don't know, it's about 100 feet, that pipe. And the blockage was right towards the end of the pipe. And he was digging and pushing and with all the machinery and the electricity. I felt sorry for him. But you see that, finally it goes through. Finally you dig enough and you block the... It's like a blockage. There's some kind of spiritual blockage to our prayers. And that's what happens. And then we have to keep on digging. That's what Rashi says. He pestered Hashem. He kept on, never gave up. Never give up hope. Kavel Hashem. We say at the end of the tefillah. Kavel Hashem. Put your trust in God. Kavel Hashem. Chazak v'yamez levecha. Strengthen your heart. You just gave up. You said, listen, I trusted in God. Nothing happened. I give up. Don't give up. Chazak v'yamez levecha v'kavel Hashem. Do it again. Process is with us. If we give up, that's the end of everything. If we give up hope and we don't pray anymore, that's it. That's the end of the story. But if we don't give up, we keep on praying and praying and praying, eventually something happens. Something gives. It won't give for us. It will give for someone else. So that's something which we have to remember. So the word, what is this, the line, the word, Vayeater, it's the end, interesting, it comes from the word for a pitchfork, atar, a pitchfork. Why? Because a pitchfork, you keep on turning the hay, to dry the hay, they have to put in the sun, then turn it around and dry it, so the sun will dry it, so they keep on turning over. And that's what the successful tefillah is, through turning over the tefillah over and over again. So a person's got to visualize themselves joyously reaching their goals. That's a very important. That's a very important idea. That's the book, right? It's all in the mind, which is visualize yourself achieving the goal. I'm going to take the questions right at the end, so because it's going to interrupt the flow of things. So please keep your questions to the end of the class, and we'll discuss everything. Okay. So the doorway to a life of happiness on page 13. I'm actually going through the book for a change instead of just making. So we're actually on page 13. And we're still on page 13. It's a good page because in Jewish law, 13 is a very good number. Why is 13 a very good number?
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah. What else? It's the gematria of the word echad. God is one. Echad is 13. Ahava, love, 13. Everything, the important things are 13. 13 principles of faith. 13 is a very, very important number in Judaism. So we're on page 13. It's a very good number. The three principles are the foundation of happiness. These three principles, appreciate and enjoy. Find the positive. Talk and act joyously. The doorway to a life of happiness is open before you. Just imagine yourself walking through. It says happiness on the door. You open the door. Happiness. Only trouble is, we think happiness is going to be created for us. We create our happiness. We create the happiness. No one can create happiness for you. No one can make you happy. They can give you whatever you need, but they can't make you happy. You can take your kids to the best Six Flags. I know it's the best. Yeah, they Six Flags. They come back miserable. Why is it they came back miserable? I made them happy, right? No, I can't make you happy. I'm sorry. That's what you're going to tell your kids. I can't make you happy. Huh? You can't? It's your job. You're a father. That's your job, right? No. I can't make you happy. Only you can make yourself happy. You have to find that doorway in your life, in your head, in your mind to make yourself happy. So you have the guidebook. This is the guidebook. We can't go into this guidebook. This is the guidebook for happiness. Amazing, amazing book. And we have to apply these principles to ourselves. So you have to make a checklist for yourself. Do I appreciate what I have? That's the number one question on the checklist. Do I enjoy what I have? Oh, that's very hard. Do you appreciate what you have? No, number one is make a list of what you have. Oh boy, we're so lucky. We are so lucky. Whatever we have, we're so lucky. because the positives always outweigh the negatives. You look and make a list, you'll find all the positives outweigh the negatives. If you look at the morning blessings, you'll find all the positives outweigh the negatives. Baruch Hashem, we have ground under our feet. We have no idea what it's like not to have ground under your feet. Like, so find the positives in your life and act joyously. Did I act joyously? You know, when I was a kid, I made a checklist for myself. And I got lazy. That's very bad. But I made a checklist for myself every day, a daily checklist. A simple checklist. And this can be part of the checklist. Was I happy today? Did I appreciate what I had today? Was I grateful to Hashem today? These are very, very basics on the checklist. Did I act joyously today? Did I talk nicely to people today? It's a very, very important checklist. So these are small things that we can do to make our lives better. It's not for other people, it's for us. And when our lives are better, then lives of people around us become better. You'll see the stress levels of the house going down. If you are happy, boy, if you're a woman and you're happy, you just made your husband so rich. People don't realize.
The secret. What about one's health?
Same thing. A person who is happy, the health will improve.
Correct.
It's very, very important. So again, stress is such a big killer. We don't really realize.
And also
diet, stress, exercise, of course. But stress is the main. Stress is a very, very important thing. Stress is one of the killers today in America. And that's why people are running. They're stressed out, and the stress makes them sick because they're not happy. The stress that makes a person unhappy. But it's good stress or bad stress. My doctor says I don't believe in it. Stress does not do anything. It's not how hard you work. Hard work does not hurt anyone. That's what my doctor says. But he's true. He's right. If it's physical labor, physical labor is good for you. But if you're just sitting down in a chair and working, it's not good for you. It's stressful. So stress is the body, but there's no outlet. There's no physical give back. So a person has to visualize themselves reaching their goal joyously. Instead of thinking about the negatives, I didn't do this, I didn't achieve this. So visualize yourself achieving it. And the doorway to happiness is in our head. You have to open that door inside to go through this door. And make other people happy. Try to make other people happy. Make other people happy by giving them a blessing. We were talking about yesterday, we had this person who passed away, and Miskin, he was a real Miskin. I tell you, he was a Miskin. He was a manic depressive. He came here one day, and he was off his meds, and he was mad. He was a Meshuggah, mad Meshuggah, they call him Meshuggah. And he would scream and shout, and people would say, take him out of here, Rabbi, get him out, we can't take it anymore, take him, get him out of here. I sent him home, and I told him, only come to this place when no one's around. I don't mind, I can deal with you, but no one else can deal with you, so come with. And what happened was, no one treated him nicely. He was like dirt for people. People treated him like dirt. Until slowly he started seeing that people care about him, and it changed his whole personality.
Wow.
It changed him from night to day. He became a different person, and all of a sudden he started blessing people. May God bless you. Never stopped. So that's a very important idea, is when you make other people happy, they're going to make you happy eventually. It's very, very important. Make other people happy. And try and make other people happy. You see people trying, striving, mothers trying to make their children happy, and they're begging their children to be happy, and it's not working. Because their answer is they didn't realize what to tell the children is. You have to tell the child finally and tell them, listen, I can't make you happy. Huh? It's a big wake-up call. People don't realize that. I can do whatever you want, but it's not going to make you happy if you decide not to be happy. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. And it's a skill. Happiness is a skill. That's interesting. Happiness is a skill. We're on page 16. So we have three pages, and you guys should be very happy. Just trying to make you happy a little bit. So you can see your faces. Yeah. So we're on page 13. You guys want to. So everybody wants to be happy. But we're not committed to become happy. That's the problem. We want to be happy without any effort. You know what? All the good things in life take effort. And that's what the Gemara says. Kafum Sara Agra. Actually, it's Pirkei Avot. Everything brilliant is in Pirkei Avot. Kafum Sara Agra. The more trouble, the more reward. So anything, even happiness, requires investment. A person's got to work on themselves to be happy. You know how long it takes me to be happy? In the morning, by the time you wake up, you're happy. You're not happy when you wake up. I'm not happy when I wake up. Very grumpy, and this and that. Oh. Then you got to go through Minyan. Oh boy. And then finally, a little bit. Then you start waking up and you start, oh, that's nice.
I suggest you get yourself a little door.
Thank you very much. So useful. You see, that's the secret to happiness. Okay. I'd rather have a grandchild. Okay. And that's what I tell people. Unfortunately, it's tragic. I think today it's a tragedy today. Instead of having kids, people get dogs. Jews need kids, not dogs. If you're an old lady, okay, you need some, okay. No, I don't tell you. But if you're a young person and you have a young couple and they buy a dog, have a kid. Maybe they tried. No, I know they can have a kid. Give them a bracha. They can have a kid. And you know what the woman told me? She said, Rabbi, you're right. It's more expensive to have a dog. You know, I had to just go through all the inoculations and stuff. $6,000. I said, No, she had a dog. Walks the dog instead of walking the kid. That's the tragedy in our time.
But Ruth already did hers. She had
I know. I'm not, please don't. Don't start. Don't start with Ruth. Please don't start with
don't
her.
Start.
I don't want to start with her. I never start with Ruth. Okay. So, let's go. It's an art to be happy. We must be happy. But how do we do that? The answer is we have to master our attitude. Our attitudes to life. That's where it comes from. It all stems from our attitudes to life. And our actions and attitudes that create all the unhappiness. You come home and you look around with a critical eye and this is dirty and this is bad and this is... You're definitely not going to be happy, but you're going to make a lot of unhappy people in your wake. But if you come home with a smile and say, wow, this is so nice, the food was so good, and this everything's so nice, everything's great, thank you very much. And by the way, that's a good guest. If the guest comes to your house and he says, food stinks and it's terrible. Kind of guest. You know what you're going to do? You're going to say, okay, goodbye. I don't think I'll ever invite you ever again. Thank you. But can you imagine? You live in the house now. They can't throw you out. But they would like to throw you out. It's not a nice place to do. Not a good thing to do when you go home. So clean up. It's a true story in Lakewood. It's a true story I heard. Now, as Rabbi Ariati says, it may not have happened, but it's still true. It's a true story, but it may not have happened. And that is, the guy goes to the rabbi. The rabbi says, I can't take this anymore. He says, what's the problem? He says, when I go home, my kids are all screaming and shouting and running all over the place, and they're unwashed and unkept, and the dinner's not ready, and my wife is sleeping on the sofa. What should I do? So the rabbi said, take a broom. So what, you want me to hit her? He said, no, I want you to go and help clean up. That's the idea. Help. Instead of criticizing and being critical and this, help. A person can't do everything, you know. Not Superman, a Superwoman over there. So help. That's the job. The job is to help. If you see something bad at home, fix it. You fix it. If you see the garbage still there, take it out. For goodness sake. Instead of complaining and doing nothing and just complaining, do something positive. Make the house a nicer place. Make the house a better place. It's all attitude. It's all attitude. And you know what? The kids are watching. The kids are watching your reactions. And the kids will remember that all their lives. My rabbi, what's his name? Rabbi Twersky says when he looks to find a husband for his daughter, he said he went to the house and he just wanted to see whether the husband puts the stuff in the dishwasher. Who puts the stuff in the dishwasher? He says when he saw the husband helping, he said, this is a good guy to marry, the son. Because the son saw that the husband was helping in the house. So he'll also learn from his father. That's where do we learn things? We learn from our fathers. Anyway. It only works sometimes.
Children.
Yes. But usually it's role model. Role modeling. It's role modeling. Usually it's role modeling. Usually. I don't know. It's role modeling. Anyway.
Is that a true story, Rabbi?
What? Yes. Rabbi Twersky said it. Rabbi Twersky said it.
So he doesn't believe in Yichus then?
He believes that if the... Exactly. Role modeling. Role modeling. Role modeling. It doesn't go through the genes automatically. A lot of role modeling around. And that's very key. Chesed is a very, very important thing. Chesed is a key. If there's chesed in the house, it's going to be a happy house. If the people don't help each other, imagine. The husband won't help his wife, and the wife won't help her husband. That's the end of the marriage, that's it. Because the people's attitude is, what's in it for me? I want to be served. And she wants to, he has to serve me. And she says, no, she has to serve me. And they go to the rabbi, and he has to serve me, and she has to serve me. And the rabbi says, oh, goodbye. See you later. And the lawyer gets the money. That's it. That's who wins the money, the lawyer. That's it. Okay, so that's it. So we have to make commitments to be happy. And it's like a lottery. You have to buy the lottery ticket, at least. You want to be happy? You want to win the lottery of happiness? The least you could do is to buy the ticket. What is the ticket? The ticket is your mind. Your mind, the door in your mind that makes you happy. The commitment to follow these guidelines. Gratitude, appreciation. look on the positive side, find the silver lining, look happy, act happy, even if you're not happy. Those are the keys to happiness. So I just want to stop over here, and we'll continue next week. And now's the time, if you have any comments or questions, now's your chance. Please go ahead.